Hey, this is Jen, and welcome to the Sojo Show. Today, we are once again going to share a little snippet of one of our meetings inside Sojo Academy, where we were discussing some of the insights our members had about our current study, which is on the book of Galatians. So for the last 2 weeks, AJ and I have been chatting about Galatians, and so we thought it would be nice for you to hear what some of our members have gotten out of their study of this just amazing book of the Bible. So we hope you enjoy it. This is only a very small portion of the call, but it'll give you a little taste, a little sense, and maybe hopefully stir your heart to dig into God's word on your own and for yourself. So enjoy this little break from the Jen and AJ rambling, and we hope you enjoy it, and we look forward to sharing more with you in future weeks on the Sojo Show as we continue to explore the beauty of God's Word. Welcome to the Sojo Show with Jen and AJ, where you'll dig deep into God's Word alongside two imperfect, frequently ineloquent women as we discover fresh ways to walk out God's truth together.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to our August. I know it's August, but I had to like double check myself against my planner real quick. Our August coffee chat. So I am really excited to be here to hear what you guys have to share about our Galatians study. Jen handled last week. So last week, my kids started back to school. It was Wednesday when they started. So last Tuesday was like the day before back to school. So I was crazy busy. So Jen handled it. And today I'm handling this because we kind of had to tag team this month. And so how's everybody doing on the Galatians study? First off, it's a really meaty book. You know, I think that's all of scripture is meaty, but Galatians, there's just so much there. Like when I was looking at just the very first chapter of Galatians, I was like, I'm never going to get through the entire book like this, because I got hung up on the very first verse. And there was so much there. That whole, you know, being sent by God versus sent by man, and then the whole approval of man. There's just so much right there in the very first verse, the very first chapter. So we're kind of at the beginning part of the study. So what have been your takeaway so far? What has stood out to you guys? This is where I'm going to turn the floor over to you guys to share what's jumping out at you. Maybe there's a certain day that stood out to you, or maybe a certain verse or a certain concept. This is where we're going to open it up to you guys to just share. Let's just talk about this book and what's happening in the study and how God is speaking to your heart. And then if you have any questions, we can throw them out there too, and we can discuss that as well. I mean, even if you haven't started the study, listening in on this, this is one of my favorite things. This and the talk we do after our co-working session. I love that, because just hearing from you guys is super encouraging. And a lot of times just hearing your insights, you know, what God is showing you and the way you put things, the way you articulate those lessons it's impactful for me. All right, Ingrid, I see your hand first. So let's do this, and we will then move over to Sherry.
So the biggest takeaway I've gotten from this study is I always have been a perfectionist and ambitious, all the things. And the biggest takeaway from this study for me is I don't have to be perfect. In fact, I can't be perfect is the thing that I've gotten from this study, because the law is there to tell me that I'm not perfect, because Jesus and Jesus is the perfect one, and I can go to him and be saved and just like rest in his perfect work. And it's like, I can finally breathe, you know, I can finally like, oh, right, I don't have to be perfect because I was never going to be perfect, and I can like get off the treadmill. That was at any moment going to make me fly off anyways. And I can just like rest and just like live life abundantly, which is, you know, what God wanted me to do all along, but I was like too busy being busy. Mm-hmm. And now I can just like live the life that God has always wanted. Like, you would read those verses about joy and peace, and I'd be like, where is the joy? Where is the peace? And like, it was like God was like the whole time be like, hey, here's the joy and peace. Please listen to me. And like all the gifts that he wanted to give me. And I was just like, no, but I have to do it. I have to be perfect.
I can relate to that so much, Ingrid. I feel like I was the same way, especially growing up, you know, in a very religious household. I felt like I had to do all the right things, and that perfectionism really set in. And just the way that Paul states it in Galatians, where he says the law was a tutor to us to bring us to Christ. It was like, it's there to show us that we're never going to be that. Like, just like you said, you know, we can never be perfect. We can never attain to that standard. And the law is there to show us that. And realizing that is such freedom. So I really can relate to what you're sharing. That was really good, really helpful. What a burden it releases knowing that. All right, Sherry.
The one thing that I, not one thing, many things that I took away from this was the power of God. Mm. Just how his Holy Spirit is so powerful and could change Saul to Paul and Peter from a denier to one who saves many and builds his church. And it gave me the I am not a perfectionist. I am a slob. I've got stuff everywhere. My house is not a hoarding house. But if you ask me where a paper is, I have to say, well, I'll get back to you on that in a week, because it's mixed in. They're all mixed in together. They're not filed or anything. And it kind of just the organization of the way the study's done, the way the story's done, the way Paul writes, it makes me want to be more organized, but not to the point of perfection. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But it makes me want to get my act together. Mm-hmm. And like Peter had to get his act together. So that was my big takeaway.
I think your point about how God uses anybody and how he can change anybody's heart, I think that is so powerful. Because a lot of times we can feel like, even ourselves, you know, when it comes to ourselves, we can feel like, I'm never going to change. You know, that's right. Just never going to happen. It's an impossible task.
Right.
But it's not with God.
Nothing. You know?
It's not. I mean, God can do this. And when we really look at some of these people that he's given us in scriptures, and we look at their lives and how they legitimately had a change of heart. You know, only God can do that. And it's amazing because it is what he does every single day. You know, he is changing hearts every day. And so there's nobody that is beyond his ability to change, and no area in our own lives that's beyond his ability to change. So that should give us great hope.
Yeah, I grew up in a church where I thought these people like Noah and Moses and all these people, Paul, were perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up thinking, even into my 30s, I'll never measure up. So I'm never going to do anything good for God.
Yeah.
Because I'm not perfect, you know. Mm-hmm. So that was my takeaway. And now that's gone. That's blown. Sojo blew that out of the water.
Yeah. Well, I love that. I love that. You know, it was funny. I was talking with my husband this week. I don't remember what the context was, but I just told him, I said, you know, I wish I had the wisdom at 25 that I have now at almost 50, you know, and the strength that I had at 25 now, you know, that energy level. I wish I had that now. You know, it's like, why can't we get both on at the same time? You know, it's, I mean, some of these lessons that we learn about God's grace, I mean, they do take time, you know, they take us a journey to get to sometimes, but it's so worth it. So worth it.
Absolutely. That's it.
Awesome. Love that, Sherry. All right, Debbie, I see your comment and your hand up.
I agree. The first verse. Yeah.
A lot. So packed. Yeah.
Sitting and reflecting and really checking in about, am I being called by God or am I calling myself?
Mm-hmm.
Those things.
Yeah.
And the other thing that struck me was that there was 14 years in there, which I think answers to the fact that we think we accept Christ and then it all just happens.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So Paul went back 14 years after he preached the message, right? The gospel, and then he had to go back. Like, I think sometimes when you're reading it, you think they heard the message and then Saturday went back just to, right? Mm-hmm. So that struck me. So that's all I have to say.
Yeah. I think that's really interesting too, Debbie, because it sounds like those 14 years, you know, he was pretty much in a position of solitude and just developing in his walk with God and his relationship with God, you know, in 14 years. I mean, when you think about it, that kind of feels like a long time, you know, and yet look at the foundation that God was building in his life for the ministry that he was getting ready to fulfill. So that was a necessary time, even though, you know, it was 14 years. I'm thinking of that quote. Some of you guys will know it better than me, but it's quoted like, if you're going to spend an hour chopping wood, spend 45 minutes of it sharpening your axe or something like that. And the point is, you know, that preparation to do whatever it is you're going to do is super vital, because without it, you can't do the job. And I see those 14 years of Paul basically hanging out with God. That is that preparation that he needed. And same for us, you know, in some of these times in our lives, and we wonder what God's doing. It doesn't seem like he's doing anything in our lives. You know, we wonder why he's not using us in a greater capacity, you know, or why he hasn't, maybe he's given us like Moses, you know, maybe he's given us a desire for something, or like even in the book of Nehemiah that we looked at, you know, he's given us a desire for something, but not the means to fulfill it. And I think we can remind our hearts that, okay, there's that preparation time that's needed as well. You know, it's not all go time all the time. So yeah, I appreciate you bringing up that reminder that, you know, he was there, he spent 14 years, and then he went back to talk with the people that God had sent him to. We have a few comments. Some of you ladies, if you want to come on, please feel free to do that. Susan says, I love that Paul didn't need anyone to reinforce or clarify his mission. I mean, that was so powerful to me, Susan. It really was, because a lot of times we tend to think that we need other people to acknowledge the gifting or the calling that we have, you know, or confirm it or validate it in some way. Or maybe even selfishly or our own pride wants to wait for somebody to tell us, oh, you'd be good at this, or to ask us to do it. You know, I think that can be our pride that wants somebody to see that or acknowledge it. But Paul didn't have that example to share with us. You know, his example is, this is who I am, and this is who sent me to do it. And when we feel God's leading in our lives, we can do the same thing. You know, we can be that confident. So yeah, that was so good for me too. Don says, I was brought up to be seen and not heard, and to memorize verses, but never understanding the meaning of the Bible. Yeah, I can relate to that too. This is why I told Jen, I said, when we get to the book of Galatians, I want to write this study on Galatians because this, for this very reason, Dawn, I grew up in a similar situation, and this book, the book of Galatians, set me free from a lot of just the churchianity that I grew up with and the whole expectations. This is what a Christian does. This is what their life looks like. This book really helped me understand grace and what it really means that I'm free of the law. So I hope that that is what it does for each one of us this month in our hearts, because, you know, we can revert to those things the Galatian believers did. Like, they knew the gospel, and yet they started hearing things and started thinking, oh, well, maybe that's true, you know? And Paul had to ask them, who has fooled you? Who has bewitched you? Like, what's happened? So it is possible for us to understand the gospel and really get a good grasp on it, and then start to turn back to that whole performance trap or legalism or keeping up the law, you know, keeping up with that perfectionistic ideology. We can revert back to those things. And I think understanding that is part of the battle, you know, so that we can safeguard our hearts and just really continually cling to grace. So, Dawn, I'm just really glad you're here. Thanks for being here. Let's see. Sarah has another comment. Reading the verse about pleasing God rather than man makes me think that God's opinion of me is so much more important than any man's opinion. Yeah. God knows me fully, all my secrets, and yet he still chose me to fill with his Holy Spirit and to give me his work to do on earth. That truth is so amazing. It really is. Like, when you just stop for a second and think about that, it is mind-blowing. Like, that God would choose us to do certain things. And I do believe that he's shaped us each uniquely. He's given us unique gifts, personalities, experiences, families, childhood backgrounds, all the things, in order to do the thing that he's best shaped us to do. And just that fact it amazes me too. It really amazes me. All right, Dawn, my mind is blown. There's so much here in this book of Galatians. I'm telling you, there are so many little rabbit trails we could chase with this too. Just so many. The ramifications of the little nuggets of God's truth is like, you know, the pebble in the water. It just ripples and ripples and ripples. It expands to our entire lives, the way we do everything. And that's why I love having groups like this where we can think about it too. Think, okay, how does this apply to my life? What does it look like for my church? How might my church be, you know, just acting in accordance with tradition or not really questioning why we do what we do, as opposed to being sensitive to the Spirit? You know, something my pastor said Sunday, he said something about faith, the expression, prayer is the expression of faith. And it really hit me because I realized, you know, that is really true to an extent, because if we really believe the truth that we're studying here in the book of Galatians, and we really start to see what a Spirit-filled life looks like versus just going through the motions according to what we've already always been taught or what we feel like doing, then we're going to constantly be in prayer. That's really the only response that we can have is a lifestyle of prayer in which we're constantly asking God, show me the way, show me the way, and believing that he's giving us the answers as we ask. He is providing that for us. All right. Well, God's word is just rich. It is so good and satisfying and impactful for our day-to-day lives. You know, just all of these little lessons in here and the way they apply to our choices and decisions. It's so good. So good. Okay, Michelle, I see your hand raised. Do you have a quick comment?
Yes, I just wanted to remark. I find it very interesting how the Holy Spirit will, like, I'm in this group, but I'm also in another group. And then my church, and it's funny how, like, we're all studying the exact same thing. And it's not like we all got together and planned it, right? So it's mm-hmm. funny how, like, the Holy Spirit will literally, when he wants to get a message across, broadly, he yeah. will be giving the same message to different groups unbeknownst to us. But I just wanted to share that. I thought that was really interesting. It actually helped me to see Galatians from, like, different viewpoints, mm-hmm. you know, how it's presented in our lessons, as well as how I'm studying it when I'm verse mapping it. And then when the pastor was teaching, it just allow you to see it in such a multifaceted way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And when the Lord brings something across your path multiple times, you know, you need to pay attention to that.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, very, very good. Dawn, the Holy Spirit does that to you too. Yeah, I know. It's kind of like, it's a little sobering to me when that happens. I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm listening. You got my attention. All right, ladies. Well, thank you so much for being here today. I just feel very blessed listening to you guys and hearing what the Lord's teaching you and showing you and how he's applying it to your lives. And we will see you again very soon. Y'all have a great afternoon.
Hey, friend, it's Jen.
And AJ.
And we have a quick favor to ask.
If we have made you smile on this podcast,
or encouraged you in any way,
or hey, if you're just a kind person,
will you take a moment to leave a 5-star rating for this podcast?
It takes just a second, but it helps others decide whether to listen to this show or not.
Also, if you're on Apple, please drop us a review. We'd love to hear from you in this way.
Thank you so much. And here's a virtual fist bump coming your way.
Fist bump.